Well, welcome once again to this week's rendition, sent straight from the Lord God Himself, I pray. This week's rendition of Sunday School in our ministry at Grace Baptist Church. I pray that you are praying for us. We pray for you. Praying God's blessings on you, especially that you would be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We continue today with messages that seem to be rather linked for 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to deal today with Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. The title we get, Because He Trusts in You, a Saint's Trust in Christ. Isaiah 26:3 literally reads this way as the prophet talks to God. Isaiah says, "You will keep in peace, peace, a mind stayed, because he trusts in you. You will keep in shalom, shalom, a mind stayed." Yes, we see the word peace in this text twice in a row, back to back. Now that drew my interest in reading the literal text there, and I went to the internet and found a site, chaimbentorah.com, which deals in Hebrew biblical studies, with reference to the Hebrew language especially. They stated the following in reference to Isaiah 26:3. He will keep us in perfect peace. The word perfect is not found in the Hebrew here. It is simply the word shalom repeated 2 times, just as I read it to you. Hebrew grammar does not have comparative and superlative adjectives like good, better, best. Like, this is a good book. That is a better book. This is the best book. Now, to show degrees in the Hebrew, it just repeats a word. So this is not just peace, but the best peace. End quote. Shalom, shalom, peace, peace. Now this absolutely floored me, but we see the very same peace described in the New Testament scripture. Isaiah, the Old Testament. Now look at the New Testament scripture. The Holy Spirit of Christ led the Apostle Peter to use these words in his salutation, his greeting of his first letter. 1 Peter 1:2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Think about that. Isaiah, peace, peace. Peter says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter uses the same words in the salutation of his second letter, too. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Jude uses these words in verse 2 of his letter. Mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Peace be multiplied. Isaiah, Peter, and Jude were all inspired by the very same Spirit of Christ in writing in their portions of the Word of God. So the translation, multiplied peace, is fitting in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in multiplied peace a mind stayed, because he trusts in you. Now, we'll have more on this multiplied peace in due course. God will keep in multiplied peace a mind. This text that we read right here in Isaiah 26:3 is specifically speaking of peace of mind. Peace of mind, which comes from peace with God. Before you can be in possession of peace of mind, before you can have no more conscience of sin, which gives to you having peace of mind, you must have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with the God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having received the gift of faith given to us in the fruit of the Spirit when we were regenerated, when we were born again, and that's what happens, folks, when God is in His work of saving us, we exercise that faith upon Christ unto salvation, giving us that peace with God. Having believed into Christ, having exercised faith into Christ, we then experience another portion of the Spirit's fruit, since we now have the Holy Spirit. And that portion of the Spirit's fruit is peace. Note, this peace belongs to the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Now that peace belongs to the Spirit of Christ and is given to us by His dwelling in us. The peace that you have, the peace that you exercise, belongs to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God works in you to will and do of His good pleasure in the exercise of that peace. Christ spoke of that in John 14:27 when He says in part, this is literal, "The peace mine I give to you." See, that peace belongs to Christ. The peace mine I give to you. And folks, looking back to Isaiah 26:3, that peace, Christ's peace, is a multiplied peace. Galatians 3:15 begins with this, "And the peace of the Christ rules in the hearts of you, to which you were also called in one body." Think about that. One body is the church. We've been called to peace, folks, when we meet as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that there be fractions and strife and turmoil in the so-called church. But indeed, we see that, do we not? I know that I have experienced that. The peace of the Christ, which means that it belongs to Him and comes from Him. We need to know that. The peace of the Christ rules in your hearts. Rules in your hearts. Now, if you've been listening to the Sunday school portion of this ministry, you know that we've been dealing with the mind very closely here recently. And if you'll remember, the heart and the mind are intertwined so as to be one. It's really the way that it is in the Scripture. one and the same as here in this verse that we read. The peace of Christ rules in your hearts. The peace of Christ in our hearts is the multiplied peace of Christ in our minds. Here, then, in that very verse, we see the peace of mind we are concerned with in today's message. Peace of mind. I don't know about everyone. I know about myself. In this present evil age, where we're under constant attack, it appears, the peace of God is prime in my mind, in my heart. This multiplied peace we speak of here is the best sense of well-being. You know, what is it? What is this multiplied peace we speak of? It is the best sense of well-being, the best sense of safety. Now, please keep in mind that word, safety. We're going to deal with it more as we move on through the message. This multiplied peace is the best sense of quietness, rest, harmony, agreement. All these words having to do with peace. The opposite of this is basically a sense of strife, unrest, and war. From this, there is nothing but chaos, confusion, torment, and doom. And that's what we see surrounding us in this world today. Just a fact. God will keep. God will keep. The word keep in this context here in Isaiah 26:3 means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to preserve. And let's translate that into what we talk about here when we talk about God keeping us. God promises to maintain a condition of that best sense of well-being. He promises to maintain the best sense of quietness, of safety and rest. God promises to preserve a condition of the best sense of harmony and agreement. Now we're going to see how the degrees of that do vary in this life. It's just a fact we have to deal with. Now again, in God promising this, in this sense of peace that we experience, this is to a mind fixed, stayed, set. Now you need to listen to this portion very, very closely. You think that you're the one that sets your mind, fixes your mind, stays your mind? Just listen up. Now, I say this to you Christians who have heard the last four messages. I pray all of you have that are watching today. If not, go back. Because if you've listened to the last four delivered in our Sunday school portion of this recorded ministry, you've been prepared. You have been prepared. I didn't know that was going on at the time, but you have been prepared to receive this message today. God prepared me to deliver it and to receive it. And now I pray He has prepared you to receive this message. If you are truly a Christian, you have been given a renewed mind. A mind of Christ, which means, in effect, a mind from Christ. A mind created in Christ. A mind united to Christ. A mind which is a new creation in Christ, as united to Christ. A mind in agreement, in harmony, together with Christ. All those things are true if you are a true Christian. This mind that we speak of here, and this mind alone, is able to be stayed. That mind alone is able to be set by God. Now, the word stayed here, and here again is something that I cannot argue with. All the experts can't argue with it. It is what it is. It is in the passive form in the Hebrew. I read extensively in this area to be sure that I was correct. And it indisputably shows that this mind is stayed and is set by God. That's the way that it is. It's set and stayed by God, who is the renewer of that mind. You do not set your mind. God sets it. That's the bottom line. As the creator of this mind that he has given us, he assures its focus will not finally waver. Oh, God, thank God. He assures that the focus of this mind will not finally waver, but remain stayed, fixed, set upon trusting in Christ. Now, folks, this is so great a salvation, isn't it? Now, as the rest of the verse says, because he, the one whose mind has been set by God, because he trusts in you. He trusts in God. Now, I've believed this for a long time, and the pastor talks about it all the time as well. There are not many real Christians in today's present evil age. That's the way I see it, and I know the pastor does. Nonetheless, even though that may be true, and it is, I believe, nonetheless, I have great struggles in trusting Christ as I should. A verse which is of great comfort to me in these struggles with my trusting in Christ is 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, he remains faithful. For to deny himself, he is not able. That's the way it is literally. Remember the man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 24, who said this to Christ, "I believe, help my unbelief." Oh, folks, that's me. I believe, help my unbelief. When I struggle to trust Christ and make myself miserable with anxiety, nonetheless, and this is the truth, he always delivers me. It's amazing the patience that God has with his people. And had God not set my mind to trust in Christ, I would have given up a long time ago. I wouldn't be here today. I would be out doing something else, leading me straight to hell. And I do pray, I continually pray, that God will give me a greater measure of the fruit of the Spirit, all of it. I want a greater measure of all of the fruit of the Spirit. But a portion of that fruit is faith. It's faith. Another four words from 2 Corinthians 10:15 give me great hope in my struggle to trust in Christ more These words are 2 Corinthians 10:15, taken from among the words in that verse, having your faith increasing. Oh, goodness. Now, that gives me hope. That gives me expectation. If Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, these words being inspired by God Himself from the Apostle Paul, having your faith increasing, then I can with great confidence pray to God, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Another truth I just realized this week. Now, I've realized it in other areas, but in this particular area of my trusting in Christ, and it's of great comfort as well, my concern over trusting in Christ as I should is evidence that God has set my mind to be trusting in Him. I wouldn't be concerned about it if God wasn't working in me that way, to be trusting in Him. Psalm 62:8. What a verse. I've read it so many times. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. Oh, I pour out my heart that I could trust Him more. God, as the verse goes on, God, and that's the word Elohim, that word which is a plural word but always translated into singular. God. Plural word translated into singular, a refuge for us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a refuge for us. Now, if you look up that word refuge, look it up. Look it up in your Strong's. That word refuge has to do with a place of safety. Remember I said keep your mind set on that safety there? A place of safety, providing a sense of safety. Where's that place? It's in Christ, where we find God the Father and God the Spirit. They're one. I don't understand that, but that's the truth. A place of safety, providing a sense of safety. Folks, that's peace. That's peace. The peace of God in our minds and hearts. In addition, there's more involved here. Brothers and sisters, don't think that you can have this peace. Peace of mind is what we speak of here, if you're not living a godly life. And you continue to do that which is right in your own eyes. Can't reach that peace this way. Can't do it. Psalm 85:8. Again, another verse I've read many times. The saint, the psalm writer, says this about his God. I will hear what God, Jehovah, will speak. God, Jehovah, Jesus will speak. Not audibly, folks. I don't think many of us have heard God audibly, but spiritually, speaking to our hearts and minds. For He will speak peace. For He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But listen up, folks. But let them not turn back to folly. Another way you can read that. But not let them turn back to folly. Folks, folly includes, of course, living a less than godly life and continuing to doing what is right the way you think about it. Don't do that. Be in great trouble. Put simply, as the saints of God, we must be about the work of separating ourselves from sin and separating ourselves unto Christ, trusting in Christ, living by faith in Him. That's what our lives are all about. Living by trusting in Christ. The prophet Isaiah goes on in this context that we are reading from to the next verse as it is today. Isaiah 26:4. This is recorded in the Holy Scripture. I want to read those two verses together now. 26:3 and 26:4. And listen how God speaks to us. Isaiah, in this context, first speaks to God, and then he speaks to God's saints. To God, Isaiah says, as we've already noted, "You will keep in peace," peace, that's the way it's written, "multiplied peace, a mind stayed, set, because he trusts in you." To God's saints, Isaiah then says, trust in Jehovah, trust in Jehovah Jesus, folks. Now listen to the next phrase. It's so interesting the way it is literally. Trust in Jehovah Jesus for even to forever. I love that word, even. To me, it just makes the whole verse. How much should you trust in to Christ? For even to forever. Not just now, but always. That's the way I see it. But I just love that. For in Jah, Jehovah, or Yah, Yahweh. Now, this is the way it's written. Sort of a repetition. That Jah is just a short of Jehovah. Yah, just a short of Yahweh. Now listen, for in Jah, Jehovah, listen, a rock of forever. Now I think this King James has the word strength. Please look it up. In your Strong's, you'll see it has to do with a rocky cliff, a rock. And of course, Christ is portrayed in both the Old and New Testaments as the rock. Can't deny that. That's there. He is the rock upon which our faith is built. A rock of forever. This is our Christ in whom we should be trusting. A rock for even to forever. A rock of forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and even to forever. There never was a point in which Christ was not to be trusted. Never was a time. Never was a point in eternity or time. He is worthy of your trust now and even to forever. He is the rock of forever on which our faith stands. Now we face, as Christians, three enemies that war against our faith and trust in Christ. I mean, folks, they war against us. This is a life and death struggle spiritually. This thing is serious. It's going to determine your eternal destiny. And eternal means forever. Those three, so ably put in the Bible and so clear: the world, the flesh, and the devil. 1, 2, 3. They would have you, they would sift you, they would kill you, they would destroy you. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that he is Elohim, the triune God. One, two, three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A refuge for us. Now remember that word. A place of safety. A place of peace in the middle of this life and death spiritual warfare. I have been under the gun this week, even into last night. I mean, under the gun, shooting the big weapons. Oh my. You will never, ever, even to forever, you will never have true peace of mind if you do not trust Christ. And that's most people out there. They do not trust Christ. They reject Christ. To those who reject the Lord Jesus, the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel say this in essence. Now I want you to listen to something here. This is very, very interesting. Remember we just saw that double shalom, the double shalom there, the multiplied peace in Isaiah 26:3. There's another double shalom. There are those saying, and again, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, these fellows say this four times separately. Four times. There are those saying, peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Where there is no shalom, no peace. And make no mistake. We are concerned with an eternal peace of mind because the trust is in the rock of ages. The eternal rock, and that rock is Christ. That rock is Christ. I think it's the first letter of Timothy, says it in the very first verse. He is our peace. Christ is our peace. He is our safety. He is our sense of true peace as he indwells us by his Holy Spirit. A question. Do you have fellowship with Christ through your relationship to him? Now, I can say that to the church. Why? He is your husband. Church, he is your husband. Dear church, you are his bride. Whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, we are referred to as the church, the bride of Christ. We have relationship. But you know, there are people who are so concerned with a blood relationship. Well, listen up, please. Listen up. You were redeemed. You were purchased by the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Christ and Christ alone is that faithful husband who set your mind on trusting him. I close with this realization in reality. This faithful husband who set your mind on trusting him. Well, the level of that multiplied peace may vary in this present life. And you know that's true. You know that's true with you and I. The level of our peace varies. The level of that multiplied peace varies as we have to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But when we see him, think about it. This is everything. When we see him, we will have that perfect peace we so long for. We will see him That perfect peace that we so long for is a perfect safety. Not just the sense of it, folks. We will have perfect safety and rest in Christ, even to forever. Even to forever. Amen.